When I'm going through a trial, I don't want somebody to massage my back. And, you know, oh, Bill is going to be okay. Come over here, cry. I want to know. I need facts. I need wisdom. I need to know what to do. Amen? So if you're in a trial, James is going to tell us exactly what we need to do.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Welcome back, and thank you for tuning in today. From Pastor Bill's study of the book of James today, we'll see that there is profit from trials in our lives. And while none of us enjoy the trials we face in life, James tells us that the testing of our faith produces patience. And he tells us to let patience have its perfect work, that you will be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, Pastor Bill, with today's message, Life is a Trial, Part 2.
The theme of James is spiritual maturity, and it's about growing up. So we have five chapters. As we go through these chapters, it will help us measure our spiritual maturity. And there's no excuse for it. We want to grow up. Amen? We want to go from glory to glory into Christ's likeness. So we have five chapters, again, that we can measure that in our life. So James' primary goal is to teach us whatever you profess to believe, you have to have more than the talk. You have to have the walk. You have to be not only a hearer of God's word, you have to be a doer of God's word. And he teaches us that adversity, trials, are part of living life. And that's from the moment of birth, loved one, really. For many people, amen? We just prayed for Laney, didn't we? Yes. So we pray for those things. Now, James, again, as I said last Sunday, has a higher occurrence or frequency of imperatives, meaning commands, than any other book in the New Testament. We have 108 verses, and in them, we're going to find one command after another, 54 total, I believe. Remember that it was written to the 12 tribes of the Christian Jews that had been scattered abroad during the persecution, okay? So they're in all different areas of the Gentile world right now. Now, James tells them, there, as we learned last time in verse 2, he starts off and he says, my brethren, he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That's one of our favorite verses, isn't it? James is not tender. He is tender, but he's not tender. Remember what I told you? He's like my old drill sergeant, remember? He just shouts out commands, and that's what he does here. He doesn't say, I know it's tough. I know you're going through a hard time. I know you're no longer in your homeland. You're no longer in Jerusalem. I know you're suffering persecution. He doesn't do that. He starts out with the wisdom of God, and he says, I'm going to give you a command, because I know what you're facing. And James so loves his brethren, he wants to help them immediately. He doesn't want to patty cake them. You don't need to be patty caked in a trial. Is that still a word today?
Yes.
Okay, good. I don't even know what patty cake means. Lord, I'm going to look that up when I get out of here. You don't want to be treated like a little baby when you're going through a trial. Come here, cry on my shoulder. James is not like that. He says, I know what you're facing, and I'm going to give you the exact information that you need right now to get through this in your life. And man, now that's the kind of talk I like. When I'm going through a trial, I don't want somebody to massage my back, and, you know, oh, Bill is going to be okay. Come over here, cry. I want to know. I need facts. I need wisdom. I need to know what to do. Amen? So if you're in a trial, James is going to tell us exactly what we need to do. He says, here's what you do in the trial. I'm going to give you a command. I want you to count your trial all joy. Now, isn't that the oddest thing you've ever heard in your life? I mean, let's be honest, loved one. He says, count it all joy. Why? Why would he command a believer to do so? Because you know, I know that that's not what we do. When we're in a trial, do we say, all right, I'm going to count this was a joy, man. I can't wait. Come on. No, you don't. I don't either. But see, that's why it's commanded. because God knows how to get you through the trial that you're facing in your life. And as I told you last Sunday, someone had said to me, well, Bill, that sounds like maybe it's a wrong translation. Remember? So let me give you a few. In New English Translation Bible, it says, count yourselves supremely happy when you go through these trials. The New Living Version, it says, dear brothers, dear sisters, whatever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. Is that what you say? Oh, here it comes. Come on in. No. How about this one? I love Phillips. He says, when all kinds of trials, temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Is that what you call your trial? No, come on. We got to be honest this morning. See, this is so important. I don't call a trial a friend, but James said, you've got to call the trial that you're going through, you've got to call it a friend. And that's why he says, my brethren, count it all joy. In verse 2 here, listen, in the Greek, it doesn't read that way. In the Greek, it says, all joy, count it. The word all is P-A-S or pas in the Greek. It means complete, 100%, total, unequivocal joy. It doesn't mean joy mixed with grief or half joy and half sadness. It's not there. It says, count it all joy. How deep is that kind of joy in that verse? It's the same joy in Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. Remember when the wise men, when they saw the star in the east, if they were following, remember, for the Lord, to see the Lord, to find him? And listen to what it says. It says, oh, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, or the Amplified says, ecstatic joy. That is the same word that James uses. Also, Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, 13, right in there. Remember, it says, you know, you are blessed when you're being persecuted, when men revile you, say all manner of evil against you and so forth for my name's sake. And he says, whenever that happens, he says this, rejoice. Rejoice? Did you know that is a command? He says, be glad right now. Rejoice right this minute. If those things are happening to you, he says, rejoice. Be exceedingly glad. Why? For your reward is great in heaven. Jesus talking about the lost sinners, those who come home and get saved. He said in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus said, likewise, I say there'll be more joy. There's that same word. In heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance. Think of that. The joy of the value of just one person being saved. And then in 15:10 of Luke, he says this, likewise, I say to you, there is joy, there's the same word that James used, joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, with all that being said, that we've defined that word joy, the ecstatic joy, pas, total joy, in the trial, James is not commanding us. He's not saying to us that the trial itself, you're going to smile through the whole thing. No, the way we smile through the whole trial is when we escape trials, amen? But he says, no, no, no. He says right here, I want you to do something. He says, I want you to count it all joy in your life. And he uses a word. He uses the word when, not if you go through a trial, but when you go through a trial. Loved one, listen, that's a very, very important word. Why? Because it teaches us that trials for the Christian, they are the norm. They are guaranteed by God that you are going to go through trials in your life. See, Christianity, although it's taught in some circles today, being a Christian doesn't shelter you from any adversity or any trouble. Do you know that? Matter of fact, you're going to have more problems probably. Yeah. So we know, okay, Bill, I know now. I'm talking to me. Okay, I'm to expect trials in my life. They're not to scare me. They're just going to happen. So I'm going to say, okay, when they're happening, it's the norm for the believer. Matter of fact, Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as something strange happened to you. He says, but rejoice. There's that word. Be full of joy. Jump up. Be glad. When's the last time you jumped up and started shouting in a trial? Are y'all with me? Yeah. See, a lot of Christians believe, if I just know the Word of God better, I'm not going to go through a trial. Is that true? No. Some Christians believe, okay, if I could just be the prayer warrior, I mean, if I pray 2 or 3 hours a day, I'm never going to go through a trial. No. If I'm really, truly nice to Pastor Bill, oh, I'm sorry, that's not in there, is it? No. Now listen to me. Trials are the norm. So what does that mean? It means that no Christian is exempt from trials, but every Christian is equipped for the trial, okay? Now, how can I count it all joy in the trial unless I have joy in me? I mean, it would be an impossibility. Now, that is why God commands us. And God would never command us to do something that he would not empower us to do in the trial, amen, or to endure in the trial. Jesus said in John 15:11, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you. That's a great word. Jesus' joy is in you right now. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Now think about that. It says the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't say the fruit of Bill. The fruit of the Holy Spirit who lives in me. He has supernatural joy. He has supernatural love. He has supernatural long-suffering, supernatural kindness. Amen? All the fruit, singular, the fruit of the Spirit, all those 9 graces, if you read the whole thing, are right there, and they're one fruit, and it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit who lives and abides in you. You don't produce it. When you obey, it comes out of you. Now, so you have it right now. You have supernatural joy living in you because it's the fruit of the Spirit. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So listen, you can't go through a trial. You can't go through a trial. Listen, you can't go through any trial without joy. I'm not talking about smiling through it. I'm not even talking about enjoying it. But I'm talking about letting the supernatural joy of the Holy Spirit be manifested in your life. Again, no trial has joy, and the only joy that you're going to find in any trial, no matter what it is going to be the joy that's in you. And that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. That's why he says, count it all joy. The word count literally means to consider, if you will. In other words, look at the trial that you're going through right now, but don't just let that grip you. And look through the trial to the end of it and the outcome that's going to be produced in your life. That's what the Lord is basically saying. The reason I say that is because the word count in the Greek is a bookkeeping term. And it means that a trial is not a debit. A trial is a credit in your life. If you're going through a trial right now, let me tell you what you have to do. And I didn't know this when I was a young pastor. I'm being honest. Now that I'm a middle-aged pastor, I've learned it. And when I get as old as Mario, then I'm really going to know. No, I'm teasing. No, listen, you have to believe with all of your heart, because trials are painful. Trials hurt. You can grieve in a trial, weep in a trial, lay awake all night on it because you're going through it. But you have to believe with all of your heart that word count or consider. You have to believe that word because it means that your trial has benefit. Do you understand? There's a benefit in this trial. And never, never think that the trial, the testing of your faith, whatever it might be, the trial that you're going through, well, God is punishing me. Trials are never, no, never, no, never punishment from God. Never. Trial are tests in your life, okay? Look at the next verse 3. Another command, knowing that the what? The testing. James mentions faith 16 times in this epistle, that the testing of your faith does something. It produces patience. So that tells me something. The trial in my life, I don't want it, I don't like it, but God says I allowed it. The trial that's there is not working against you. Your trial is actually laboring and working for you. Why? It's a test of your faith. Why faith? Because faith is the believer's foundation. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. There's no other way for a Christian to live. And I'll tell you something, we live in a world, and Satan hates faith. He doesn't want you to do one thing. He wants you to not believe one promise of God. He hates faith because he knows in Ephesians 6:16, where it says, taking up the shield of faith, you will be able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. Amen? He's very aware of that. He also knows that God is a rewarder of faith. Now, faith, trials, testing. Testing's the target. Trials always test your faith. Amen? Now, let me give you a scripture. It says in 1 Peter 1:6, in this you greatly rejoice, or literally, in this you continually jump for joy, though now yet for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, or the many trials. Boy, see, trials can grieve you, okay? But the joy that you have is not yours. It's supernatural, and it lives in you. Amen? Okay. That's why you have to count it all joy. You obey that command. Now, it says, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it, meaning your faith, is tested by fire, may be found to the praise and the glory of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now listen, the aim of the testing of your faith is never to destroy your faith in the trial. It's to increase your faith in the trial. In other words, here it is, it's hard. What am I going to do? You go to the Word of God. You believe the Word of God, and your faith is being tested, and you've got to say, okay, I've got to just grow up or whatever. And I tell you what a trial does. A trial always removes something from you, something that God doesn't want there. Could be doubt, could it be fear, could be love of money, could be anything, but he's going to get rid of it. So that's what it does. So the testing of your faith, trials, listen to me, it would be cruel, it would be horrible to go through a trial, count it all joy, and God would say, you know what? It doesn't have any good purpose. It doesn't have any good benefit. See, that's the way we think, though, isn't it? But it does have a good benefit. Look at verse 3. It says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. You see that command there, the word knowing, is gnosko in the Greek. Gnosko means this, knowledge gained by experience. Listen, we will never know, how strong our faith or weak our faith is. We'll never know unless we go through hard times. Amen? Come on. And when we really go through it and we trust God, you know what we find? We find that God's Word is really true. You trusted the Word of God. You believed the Word of God. You stood on it because faith is your foundation. Amen? And then you go, yes, I can't. Was it painful? Yes. Was it hard? Yes. Would you take for it? No. I learned. I grew up. I don't know about other trials, but this one, if I ever face it again, I'm going to walk all over it because you learned in that trial. Very, very, very important. So, but that's because you were willing to obey. If you're not willing to obey, you'll not have gnosko. You'll not, in other words, you will not have knowledge gained by experience. Jesus said in John 7:17, if anyone is willing to do God's will, he will know, there's that word know again, gnosko, knowledge gained by experience. He will know the teaching, whether it's God or not. You'll know in your heart. The word testing means to be proved. It's like testing metal, if you will, and testing it by fire, determining if it's genuine or if it's not genuine. Here, of course, is the testing of our faith. And trials do something. They purify our faith. They hone our faith. They make us strong. And they also develop something. It says patience, but the word really is perseverance, or it produces endurance. So in other words, when you're going through a trial, you obey what God says. You believe, okay, my faith is being tested. It's testing my belief right now, whether God is for me or not. And then you stand, and what happens, loved one, is that now you're not falling apart in the trial. You're enduring. You're bearing up under pressure, if you will. Amen? And that's what a trial does. Now listen, patience, or that endurance here, is not developed by prayer. It doesn't come that way. Endurance doesn't come by, I'm going to memorize all the scriptures in the Word of God. It doesn't come that way at all. It only trials, the testing of your faith. That's how endurance comes. Someone said this, adversity introduces a man to himself. Isn't that a true word? You really find out how strong or how weak you are when you're going through something. And you know, we're all weak, but you know what? When we are weak, we are strong. It's when we're strong and when we get in trouble. So as we go through that, we find out who we really are. Someone said this, the unexamined life is not worth living. That is really a true word. I mean, can you imagine being just a little spoiled brat of a Christian? You know, everything's just perfect in your life. You've never chipped a fingernail, never had a flat. And if you did, you just called and had it fixed. Just everything's been, you know, peachy king, whatever, I don't know. And you're never going to grow up. You don't know who you are because everything's been given to you. Do you understand? But I tell you, when you go through a trial, something happens. Barclay put it this way. He said, trials, they're not meant to make us fall. They're meant to make us soar. They're not meant to defeat us. They're meant to be defeated. They are not meant to make us weaker. They're meant to make us stronger. Therefore, we should not bemoan them, but we should rejoice in them. Erwin Lutzer, he put it this way. God often puts us in situations that are too much for us, so that we will learn that no situation is too much for him. Amen? I like what Job said. Job said in Job 23:10, God knows my way that I take. And when he has tested me, now listen to the faith of Job. When God has tested me, when this test is finally over, I shall come forth as gold. I can stand before you today with a clean conscience and heart and say this, I would not trade the trials in my life because I have gained from them. See, trials make you who you are. Did you know that? They make you strong. And listen, you are a believer. You've got Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? Well, we have the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the grace of God, the empowerment of God. Listen, we can trust the Lord. And yes, it's going to hurt to go through some of the things that we go through in this life. But man, if we'll just glean from the Word of God, we have to do something. That's what the next verse tells us, another command. It says, but let patience or endurance, remember, staying strong under difficult circumstances, but let patience or endurance do something. Watch. Have its perfect work. In other words, you have to know that God is working in you through this trial. Amen? He's not destroying you. He is molding you into the image of Christ Jesus our Lord. He's conforming you. And it says that you may be perfect. That doesn't mean sinless. It means that you may grow up, that you may reach the end, that you may be mature in your walk and complete. And then it uses another word. And it says lacking nothing. In other words, not left behind. Not falling short. It means reaching full maturity. The word let, that command there, means this. It means submission unto God. Whatever God's will is. And the goal is not, okay, endurance. I'm going to be strong. The goal is to grow you up and me up, okay? That's the goal of it all. And listen now, are you going through a trial? What I just said, or not me, what James just said through the Holy Spirit, is a difficult, hard-hitting command, loved one. But to me, as hard as it is, if I'm going through a hard time, do you want somebody to tell you the truth or just, you want the truth, don't you? Okay, that's what James does. This is a hard-hitting command, and man, but it's brilliant because it is filled with God's mercy as we go through the various trials in our life. And here's what it does. It teaches me this. Bill, if you will go through this trial God's way, if you will just obey him, even though it's hard because you see the trial, you're surrounded by those circumstances, if you'll just do it God's way, it will make us feel the trials that we go through the least, less. Why? We're obeying God, or we're doing it God's way. You go through a trial and you don't obey God, is it hard? You know, it beats you to death. And then what do? Instead of going to God in your trial, you go outside of it and start looking for things to get you out of that trial. And now you're totally out of the will of God. So very, very important. The command, count it all joy. How in the world can we, in all seriousness now, this over-the-top difficult command, how can we do this? We say, oh God, you got to help me. You got to give me something to enable me. You got to give me something to endure this, to count this thing all joy. And here's the wonderful truth. He has given you exactly what you need. Amen.
Well, there is so much more to this message, and we do hope to see you again on Monday when Pastor Bill will conclude this message. And we want to thank you for listening to Love Never Fails today. We appreciate you so much. Have a great weekend, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.